Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen, and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight, I'm joined by owner of Oz Paratech and half of the Frightfully Good duo, Anne. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Cade. Oh, it's great to be back here. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you on. I get very excited when I get to talk to you and Renata, but tonight it's just you. It's just you.
I feel naked. I feel like I'm doing something naughty.
What are we doing? We're doing like a podcast affair. You know, it does feel a little bit. Off, but I like it.
just don't tell her whatever you do.
Yeah, just keep it on the down low. it is great to have you back. Like it seriously is. I'm a really big fan of everything that you do. Like you're one of the hardest working people in the industry, because you're doing something like all the time, and you must be the most exhausted person in the world.
Yeah, Renata and I are just absolutely wiped most of the time, but we are doing something we love. So, yeah, it's hard work. Yes, it's tiring, but it's also fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's really one of the whole reasons I kind of wanted to chat to you tonight, because, you know, you're kind of like a little bit of an inspiration to me, because I see everything that, you know, you're out there. You're doing things, you're hustling, and you're working hard doing the things that you love. And one of the things that you do is, like, you actually kind of, you know, you jump into a lot of documentaries and stuff like that. And this is a little bit of an exclusive, but I'm actually looking at putting a couple of documentaries together myself. Don Mears and Attila Caldi, they've both been in my ear kind of telling me, you need to get out there and, you know, do something about the podcast.
Yeah, give it a crack. Yeah. Have a try.
Exactly. So because of them and just, you know, the amount of peer pressure that they put on me, I buckled. So I'm doing it. I don't know what that looks like yet, because I don't know where to start when it comes to, you know, exploring the paranormal and, you know, how do I do that in a way that is done, I guess, right? So I kind of don't look like a hack, you know, do it effectively and do it like not overly scientifically, because I'm not that way inclined. You know, I would lean a little bit more on the fantastical side of things when it comes to that. But I do like to have like something kind of tangible when it comes into that, because I'm a really big I wouldn't say skeptic, but I'm probably a skeptical believer is how I kind of describe myself. Yeah. Because it's so easy to get kind of caught up in the moment of things when, you know, stuff's going down in the paranormal world, the UFO world, and so on. And this is kind of where you come in, because you do own Australia's like largest store for like the weird and the wonderful when it comes to kind of ghost hunting equipment. So because of that, I wanted to get you on, chat with you, and like really pick your brain about, you know, how first you kind of got into that business. Because personally, I find that kind of fascinating, because, you know, it's not just an everyday business to sell like kind of that ghost hunting equipment. And why you kind of got into it, like, you know, how that started, why you do it, and then give me like some tips, like what's the type of equipment that I should be looking for, or anything like that, because I'm very green when it comes to this side of things. No doubt I'm going to shit my pants when I'm out there kind of doing this type of investigation stuff, but it'll be really cool to, you know, have something to tell me, you know what, something is happening here, and it would be just great to almost have that on an unofficial record type of thing, be that video, be that audio, be, you know, whatever it is that, you know, is a recommendation by you. So I guess the floor is kind of open to you. Like, why did you start a business like that?
Well, I mean, I was a paranormal investigator myself. I've been doing this for 11 years officially now, and I sort of realised it was difficult to get equipment, and you had to buy it from overseas. And there was actually another guy that started selling the paranormal equipment here in Australia, and he sort of didn't have a real good business handle on stuff, and it sort of went south. And then I stepped in and I said, how about I help you? So I came in and tried to help as well, and then that sort of all went south. And then my husband and I went to one of the paracons, and my husband got talking to Sean Porter from GhostOp, and he said to Sean, oh, would you like us to sell your equipment here in Australia? And at this stage, I didn't know he had even broached this with anyone. And he organised this deal with Sean, comes back to me and says, oh, we're going to be selling paranormal equipment. And I've gone, hang on a second. I don't want to be stepping on toes here, because there is somebody else that's selling equipment. He said, oh, yeah, but they're not selling that equipment. They're not selling GhostOp. And I went, oh, okay, fair enough. So we started off selling the GhostOp gear, and approached the old reseller that was selling stuff here and said, look, can we be a tier two underneath you? And we started doing that, but I won't go into too many issues, but there was a few problems. And in the end, DAS took us on as the tier one sellers. And that's how we ended up now with the largest store in Australia, because we got a very good working relationship with DAS and with GhostOp, and we also stock Centex. I tried so hard to get Bill Chappell. I tried really hard, but Bill's vacillating in between retirement and wanting to keep going and then stopping and then goes again. But I can now call Bill friend, so I think I've won in that instance there anyway. So but that's how we ended up being resellers of Equipment Australia.
Yeah, right. So it's almost just kind of right place, right time type of scenario there, and all the pieces just kind of fell where they needed to fall.
Yeah, and it was my husband that started it, and now he's too busy with his full-time job. So I think he always did it knowing that is something I wanted to do, and I did do it well when I was helping the other guy, he wanted me to run it myself. So thank you, Roman. I owe you, dear.
You know, I think Roman's a bit of a genius, because he's found a way to keep you infinitely busy. So he's just gallivanting doing what he likes now.
He's out there drinking scotch right now.
sounds like he's having a terrible life, that's for sure. Okay, that's really cool. So when it came to that kind of that business, like that would have been quite an interesting one to bring up with friends and family and stuff like that, kind of saying, I'm going down this route to sell things to find ghosts. Like that's kind of the equipment, I guess, kind of the conversation that goes behind that. Now, when you did that, was there like any kickback or anything like that? Because I guess that's a very, very interesting business model.
Well, I'm an only child of an only child, and my mother was an only child. My father doesn't have much family around him. So my mum had passed and it was only my dad that was left, and he just rolls his eyes at me and says, "Oh, the spooks, oh, the spooks." But he didn't actually fight me on it. My son keeps saying everything is dust, and my daughter sort of came out with us a couple of times and did some investigations but got too spooked, so she gave up on that. But they could all see that it was my passion, a huge driven passion, and they all supported me in it.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I think that's fantastic to have your family members kind of, you know, support you in that way and like even come out and do investigations. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really lucky that way. Lucky or blessed, I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm taking it with both hands and saying, thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, this is probably like a business style or a lifestyle that a lot of people really dream of, because you're kind of blending hobby and business together. So the reality is, like, you probably never really feel like you work a day in your life.
No, but even better still is I've managed to incorporate travel when it's not a pandemic. With the Frightfully Good duo of Renata and I, we have our YouTube channel now, which is Anne and Renata Frightfully Good, and we are traveling around the world to haunted locations. And our last trip was to England only in April this year, and we did the naughty and nice road trip where we started in the little town of Shitterton and then we tried to get up to Twat, but we had to go on a ferry boat to get to that, and Renata won't do ferry boats, so we ended up in Muff in Northern Ireland. But we visited haunted locations all along the way, as well as meeting some of the people who love the True Hauntings podcast and the Ann and Renata brand, the Frightfully Good brand. We had an absolute ball.
That's cool. That's so cool. You know, the fact that you can do that and not have to worry about it. Not worry about
it. It's only the editing you have to worry about. It's a nightmare.
Editing, it's a creator's curse. And to be honest, it's one thing that absolutely terrifies me about doing video, because I see the amount of work that goes into it. It's months of work, depending on what you're doing, and you're never happy with it at the end of the day.
Well, we were lucky for this trip because we had this wonderful, wonderful man. It's actually the husband of one of our Patreon supporters who came on board and said, "Look, I want to help you girls. He said, I really believe in you, and he wants to help us out." And I've gone, "Oh, yes, please." But first off, he had to give us a crash course in filming.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we had to, because we've got our Sony cameras, and we had to get microphones, and then he wanted establishing shots and close-ups and long shots, and we're going, oh, wow. Oh, this is terrifying.
It really is a crash course. That's I think that's cool, though, because, you know, you are very much in that whole audio realm, because, you know, you have the True Hauntings podcast, which is fantastic. Everyone needs to kind of, if you're not listening to it, jump over to it and, you know, give it a listen, because you put so much bloody work into that, and it's always a thankless job. So, you know, I'll speak for like every one of your listeners and say thanks for doing such a bang up job with it. But
well, thank you. Yeah. I just want to warn people, though, do not listen to it while you're driving, because you may have an accident.
Yeah. They're a bloody crack up. It's the best.
You end up laughing so hard that you've got tears streaming down your face, and you can't see the road.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
whoever would have thought that a podcast on hauntings would be that funny?
You know what? It is. Like the thing is, like the paranormal is, like, it is a little bit funny. Like there's funny things that happen. There's funny stories that come out of like almost tragic situations. Maybe that's the dark humor in me, but I recently did a live show for my podcast, and someone called up telling me this to him. It was like this absolutely terrifying encounter, and he had a lot of difficulty talking about it. But essentially, he was really young, and a ghost was trying to... He was in the loo, and a ghost was like stomping on the floor and trying to open the door. You know, that's a super scary situation, but... I guess in the hindsight of it all, you know, 20 years later after the fact, able to have a laugh about it and, you know, kind of see that humorous side in it. But that's how the paranormal can just be, just that little bit. I think there has to be a lighter side to it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Oh, and my goal every episode is to make Renata lose it so that she wheezes and can't talk.
You know, that's fantastic. I used to do another podcast myself, and there was always a plan. There was always like show notes. This is what we're doing. This is how it's going. And my goal was just to get that car into a ditch, and it's a dumpster fire then. So I do want to pick your brain about a couple of pieces of equipment that I would want to know, like, what's the kind of go-to for an investigator's tool belt? Because I see things like K2 meters and things like that. I see, like, little devices with antennas that kind of, you know, make sounds or things like that. Walk me through this, because I am very green. I don't know a lot about it. What would be those kind of go-to things that would... You know, you would find essential for an investigation or for research?
Well, see, it's all very different, because you're originally talking about you're going to make a documentary. So if you're going to make a documentary, you have to work with equipment that is more visual than it is numbers on a screen. So audiences like to be entertained, and they like to see something happening on the screen. So you would be better off working with something that lights up or alarms in those sorts of circumstances. And that's where like the cat balls that light up and the REM pods that have the silver stick out of it and have the lights on it. Because in post, which is when you're editing and getting it ready for the public to see, if it's not making a noise, they actually will put a noise in. So there's an episode I did for a pilot where we had these cat balls that were flashing, and they put a noise in of this so that people would be aware that something was happening.
Yeah, right.
They did it for the K2 as well, the EMF meter. And then I had people ringing me up saying, I want the EMF meter that makes the noise. And I'm going, no. There is one, but it's actually more like a sort of noise. So it's something visual that the people that are watching the show can see for themselves and enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the pieces of equipment that I always found really fascinating, and I don't know where I saw it for the first time. It actually might have been one of Isaac Butterfield's first little ghost docos, where it was like a, I think it was an Xbox thing, like a camera on an Xbox, where I think it used LiDAR sensors in it. And I think that's the
SLSX cam. Is that the one?
Maybe. I don't know.
The stick figures?
Yeah, that's it. It shows the stick figures. That is really fascinating. Like, what's the go with that? Because is that all legit? Right.
Well, there's a couple of different versions of them. There's the one that Bill Chappell created, which is the SLSX cam, structured light sensor. And it's using the guts of an Xbox, and it's throwing out little points of light onto the area in front of it. And I always like to describe it as, remember those things from the 1970s that had little pins on it, and you put your hand onto it and it would move the pins and it would leave the impression of your hand there?
Yeah.
Well, that's what these lights are sort of doing, is that it's picking up that there is a change in the depth of field, and then it will map in, depending on what it's been programmed for, it's looking for humanoid figures. So it will turn it into a stick figure. And people love that because they can see it. And I think Ghost Tube now has an app that was created by Amy's Crypt, where you can have that on your phone as well, which is a much cheaper version than the $2,000 SLS X-Cam.
Wow, is that how expensive it is?
Yeah, by the time you pay your duties and get it shipped over here, I think it's $1,299 American dollars.
But oh, wow.
The dollar's not so great. So when I got it, it ended up costing me about $2,000. And people would say, oh, well, you can make it yourself. And you do. You see people walking around with tablets and they'll have the guts of the Xbox there and it's all wobbly and wibbly and they'll get very crude figures on it. What they don't realize is what Bill built into his is a lot more, he has a lot more pinpoints of this IR light, and he also has the audio sensors in there, and I'm just trying to remember temperature and EMF, and it is reading all of that stuff. So it's a much more sophisticated bit of gear, but they can give you a lot of false readings.
Yeah, right.
Like you'll be in the pitch black and you'll be looking at this thing and there's a stick figure in front of you and you'll say, can you wave at me like this? And lo and behold, that stick figure lifts its arm up and waves just like you did. If you've got a light source behind you that is even IR light,
yeah,
that means you're casting a shadow, which the Xbox thing will pick up as a humanoid shape and then map it in as a stick figure, and lo and behold, it copies what you do because you just did it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing, because a lot of the – I would imagine there's, like, a fair bit of ghost hunting equipment that kind of relies on infrared light and things like that, you know, like full-spectrum cameras. Where, and you look at all the night vision cameras, a good majority of those are, they're using the infrared kind of light spectrum to see in the dark.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that you still need a light source with an IR camera. They think that it's a night vision camera, therefore you can see in the dark with it, but you still need the IR as a light source.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like infrared torches that you can get, right? Like you can kind of strap them onto to different things.
Oh, there's all sorts of things. And like people get upset if you call it infrared because it's actually near infrared, because proper infrared is heat. Oh, there's some people who are so pedantic about this stuff.
Absolutely. If you're watching the video version of this, I just did the world's biggest eye roll about
that. Yeah, there was. It was a huge eye roll there.
It's really fascinating to me because I could imagine like there's so many people who have an opinion on like what's right and what's wrong when it comes to researching or, you know, documenting this type of thing. And you would probably be right at the front line for a lot of that, because I would imagine you would have people say, oh, why do you sell this type of thing? This thing's rubbish. This thing's that.
Yeah,
that would be really, really difficult.
Especially the K2s, people hate them. But that's the first thing that people will go to. And a lot of people don't understand what they're being used for. They're not actually to detect ghosts. They are to detect changes of the environment around you. And in this particular case, it's EMF fields.
I guess the thing with those types of pieces of equipment is like they really do rely on what is going on around that vicinity. I know that's probably pretty dumb to say, you know, that's probably for any piece of equipment, but that type of thing is like, I would imagine is highly influenced if you walk into a room that's got Wi-Fi or cell phones or mobiles or anything like that in there. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Or even a magnetic clip on your bag. We had one lady who kept putting it up to her bag going, there's something in my bag. There's a ghost in my bag. And we're going, no, you've got a magnet on your bag and that's what's setting it off.
I would imagine it's almost a bit of a hindrance to a lot of people trying to do these types of investigations or you know, pieces of research with equipment like this, because I would almost imagine it comes almost like a crux to what they're doing. Like, you go into a place, if this thing doesn't light up or doesn't go off, it's a failure. Like, there's nothing there. You didn't get what you want.
You suck as a ghost hunter if your gadgets don't go off. That's what we were told. We were actually in one of Isaac's episodes that we did, and I think it was the one that was the private case, we had one of the comments say, oh, you ladies should be watching Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters to get some tips on how to do this properly.
Ah, yes, because that's a TV show that has about 150 people working behind it and is edited to within an inch of its life. And if you listen to those shows, like, you can hear the Frankenbites, which is, do you know what a Frankenbite is?
I think I do, but tell me.
So essentially what a Frankenbite is, it's when a piece of, say, audio or video is edited so much that the talking doesn't sound proper. Because they're trying to get them to say something different. So, yeah. So, like, a sentence would sound like it's being spoken very quickly or like in two different tones. And that's called a Frankenbite because it's essentially a Frankenstein creation. And you hear it all the time in those ghost docos.
Yeah. And let me guess, they cut to them saying it and then halfway through the sentence they cut to B-roll and you don't see them finish saying the sentence?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it happens all the time, or it goes to a reaction shot that was filmed 2 hours later or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's something I actually want to talk to you about, is like, how do you find the reaction to your investigations that you do with Isaac? Because you've done a fair few of them, and personally I think they're done in a way that's like, Isaac is a comedian. Like, he has to have his angle to it because that's his brand. But he's actually super respectful, in my opinion, about how he goes about it, because he's not going in there, you know, being crude about anything or anything like that. And he's very open-minded about it all. Like, that would be quite refreshing, I guess, from your behalf. And I guess that's kind of why you continue to do those things.
Yeah, and he's a giant chicken too. Renata met Isaac a long time ago and did some work with him very early on, and that's how that connection was made. He came back like 10 years later and said, you know, will you do this doco with us at Maitland Jail? And I was a little bit worried because I'd sort of seen the headings of his clips and things. I'm going, I don't know if this is a good path for us, but, you know, we always just do anything people had asked us to do. We will put our hand. I like to call myself a camera whore. I'll get in front of any camera because I love it. I just love it. I'm not looking at it going anywhere. So we went with the flow and we let our humour run amok with him, and he enjoyed it. But I was surprised how respectful he was. And he was right into it. He wanted to know why, not just, let's go find a demon or something like that. He was very sensible about everything we did. And he handed the reins to us and said, just run with it. You just tell me what to do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's kind of like, here's the keys to the kingdom. You go, this is your show. I'll just be the guest to it.
Yeah. So, of course, we would try to find the most traumatic things we could possibly do to him. So Maitland Jail, we found out he hates Ouija boards with a passion. So we blindfolded him and took him into the Satan cell at Maitland Jail. And we had it full of these babies I got from Kmart that are movement sensitive, and also Ouija boards, because I collect them. So I had a lot of Ouija boards, and we sat him down on the bed. And then we all retreated from the room, closed the door and said, okay, you can take your blindfold off now, the poor bastard. And, of course, as soon as he started moving, all the babies started moving, going, mama, mama. He was just freaked out.
That's amazing. You got to love stuff like that. And, like, you got to have fun in situations like that, I think.
Yeah. And I think his fan base wanted to see him in uncomfortable positions as well. So I know that when we did the tunnel up in Queensland, I sent them in there by themselves with the night vision camera, and they couldn't even get into the tunnel before they turned tail and ran back.
Oh, wow.
That was the one where I'd set up one of the dolls we bought on eBay. It was supposed to be a demonic possessed doll, as you do. It was only $20. It was the bargain. And we had her halfway down the tunnel with cat balls and things all around her. And in the end, we had to walk in with him. And it was supposed to be a tunnel where there was Satanists that were practicing down there, which I think is a load of bollocks. So we were trying to find things again that would be appropriate experiments to trigger activity. So I said to him, will you say the Lord's Prayer backwards? And he's like, what the? And there was a few swear words that were dropped at that stage. And that's where we got called the agents of the Antichrist. we do have a bit of fun with it, but we ended up playing it backwards on a recording, because you can find anything on YouTube. I was surprised I found it on
really?
There. There you go. And the cat balls lit up, and the cat ball right next to Janet, the demonic doll, went off, and it was scary. That was a bit scary, but it was. I don't believe in that sort of stuff myself, so I felt safe, but they were freaked.
I guess when you, and I guess this is really a classic trope of people who, you know, seem to have paranormal experiences happen to them, is the word demon. You know, like it was demonic. It was.
And now my eyes are rolling.
Yeah. it's like the. I never poo poo on anyone's like stories or encounters or anything like that, because I'm never there. I wasn't there. I'm not living through it. I didn't encounter what they encountered or anything like that. But I think it's such a Hollywood effect to, you know, you just look at the Conjuring movies and things like that, that everything is just like demonic action, things like that.
Demon sell. If you want to do well on YouTube and get millions of views, it's got to be demonic or people just aren't interested.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And we are sticking to our truth and we do our stuff. Our stuff on YouTube is more about the journey, and we do some live investigations for people. But if nothing happens, nothing happens. We're not going to over-dramatize and go, did you hear that? That's a demonic sound, and carry on like that. But that's what they're doing. And they'll put clickbait headings in there like demonic witch found in the woods, and wait till you see what we saw. And it's all bull dust, the whole lot of it.
Stuff like that, I think, really hurts that whole genre more than than anything, because it builds up a stigma around, you know, what may be going on. It probably causes a lot of hysteria in people who are easily influenced by that and, you know, are having, you know, a potential paranormal experience happening in their house or at their job or, you know, just some place in their life, when it really could just be something that is so easily explained as, you know, electrical fields or something like that. Yeah. Within the house.
We even, because Renata and I do a lot of private cases, and she's a trained counsellor, and there was one particular case we did where they thought that this gentleman was being attacked during the night by a demonic entity, and he was having scratches on him, and there was all sorts of things going on. And I went off with the mother and the daughter into another room and chatted to them while Renata chatted to the person that was being attacked, and sort of looked into his history a little bit more. We talk to people a lot, and if you watch Isaac's episode on that private case, you'll see that we talked to that lady involved a lot, and there was a lot that was cut out. And it turned out that he had at his work been traumatized with a break-in and somebody pointing a gun at him. And what was happening is he was having night terrors, and he was reenacting what had happened to him and trying to run away. And His brain hadn't completely disconnected from his muscles, so he was flailing about, which is why he was ending up with scratches, and that's why he was huddled in the corner, cowering and crying, because the poor man needed help. He needed help and counselling to be able to recover from that. And it terrifies me sometimes that another team that is trained by watching the ghost hunting TV shows would go into there, or worse still, the Warrens. Don't even get me started on the Warrens. They would go in there and claim that is demonic. And that would put even more terror into that family. And it's not. It's a man-made thing of a trauma that's happened in a person's life.
You know, that really does raise a very important and kind of interesting topic when it comes to the world of paranormal. Basically anything like paranormal, UFOs, we encounter things like that, is the side of like mental illness that goes with that, because it would be so difficult to, you know, go into a potential investigation that you've been contracted to do, only to find out that the person that you've been contracted by is, you know, potentially requiring help on another level.
Yeah, and this is where Renata's training helps, and I also did a mental health first aid certificate, which I think is another very valuable thing people should do. And you're trained to recognise the signs, and once again, it's just sitting down and talking to people, let them asking an open-ended question and letting their conversation pour forth. And many times it is grief or trauma.
Yeah.
Misfiring in the brain, or chemicals out of balance in the brain. And we have to say that they need to find someone that they can talk to and sort through this. And Renata will often give them little tasks that they've got to do, but some of them, they find that they are special because they think they've got an attachment, or they think there's a ghost in the house, and they don't actually want the advice on how to solve it, because being special is far more important. And they will dismiss you, and they will go and find another team until they find someone that will confirm their bias, confirm their belief. And it really distresses me.
It's dangerous. That's what that is, because there's an absolute enabler complex going on there, because you see it online, and I love social media for certain things, and I hate social media for so much more. And one of the things I really hate is like just how enabled someone can be for something that is literally almost nothing. And you see it all the time in paranormal groups. Like, I'm going to raise a topic that you probably love/hate, and like that's the topic of like orbs and stuff like that.
I must be psychic. Did you see I said that word before you said it?
Yeah, exactly. and that's the thing, like orbs are probably one of the most explainable types of phenomenon, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
That can happen. Most people have their flashlights on or the camera flash when they take a picture at night, and you just look around at any room, it would be a smorgasbord of dust and mites and things like that throughout the air.
Yeah, we did a True Hauntings episode on a jail in Ireland, and I found a report from somebody who had done a ghost hunt on there, and I read it out as part of the soundscape, and I had a lot of trouble getting through that soundscape because I just cracked up laughing continuously. But they were talking about there was an orb infestation. I'm not going to swear, but it's a freaking 300-year-old building. You reckon there's orb infestation in there? Come on. Freaking dust.
It's great. I had a friend of mine who has another podcast. It was snowing where he lives, and he took a picture outside his windscreen and posted it to a group, and he says, "Oh my god, look at this." And everyone just went gangbusters saying, "Oh, look at all those orbs. You must be driving through a cemetery or some crap like that." And yeah, he kind of just came back and said, "No, this is just, you know, snow melting on my
I bet screen." They argued.
They did.
I bet they argued.
And they did. And that's the crazy thing about it. It's people are just too far down some rabbit holes to be helped. And that's just so I don't want to sound like really negative, but it's just terrible for the whole, that not that, you know, the paranormal is an industry, but
it doesn't make us look good.
Yeah, exactly. Like it, there's certain
and
things,
and we all get tarred with the same brush.
That's it. Because it only takes a few bad eggs for the whole bunch to kind of be painted in that. And that goes for everything that's out there. That's paranormal, that's UFOs, especially UFOs, and especially people who have Yowie encounters. Because there's a massive stigma around all of those things, and none more than Yowies, in my opinion.
Well, I haven't seen one yet, so I'm too lazy to walk that far into the bush to try and find one.
You and me both. You and me both. I have a lot of close friends who you know, would do it quite religiously. And
Attila's in there all the time.
Yeah, it's like, mate, I'll see you in 3 weeks when you find your way out of that dense-ass bush. So what is it about the world of the paranormal that like kind of keeps you going back to one, have a business related around it, but not only that, to offer it in a professional kind of establishment that you do, where you do the one-on-one, I guess, I don't know how you would what do you call that, like a treatment, an investigation,
a private client or a private investigation. It's normally just a chat is what we do, just a chat.
Yeah.
We'll come and have a talk to you about it, but yeah. Sorry, what was the question after all that?
So I'm actually going to derail my question. I'll come back to it.
Okay.
One thing, and I don't know about you, but I get absolutely smashed for this, is monetizing the paranormal.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes. How dare you make money from the dead? Well, funeral directors do it. So, look, I've called myself now a paranormal investigator, educator. There was another one as well. And then I finished off with entertainer. I feel that I do all those things, and I will change my hat depending on what it is that I'm doing. And I know that when I do Maitland Jail or our ghost hunting tours, that this is paranormal entertainment, and we will run something for people and give them the best shot of having a paranormal experience, and try to educate them along the way, but they're there for a good time. We never fake anything, but it is a form of entertainment, and I will, you know, put on the whole voice and the character and do all that sort of stuff. But I hope that I'm educating on the way. And when we do our Tarot Thursdays, that's definitely entertainment, because I do readings and I tell people I can't read for shit and I make stuff up and they still love it. So making money, well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to ship that equipment into Australia. And why not make some money? Why is it that... And I think a lot of this comes back to the Warrens, who used to say that they don't charge for their paranormal investigations. But what that people didn't realise, and we've done a lot of research on this through True Hauntings, is that they charged travel fees. So they would have all their expenses covered, but then they would take these haunted items and put them into a museum where they would make money. They would broker authors and movie deals from the stories that they were creating and coming up with, where they would make money. And they would have put their names on books where they would make money. So they were making a shit ton of money from the paranormal, but they've got these halos over their head, which they don't really, doesn't belong to them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's one thing that it kind of gets my back up a little bit, because a lot of people love to consume content without actually realizing where it comes from.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort and a lot of investment to be able to do the things that, you know, people like you and I do, where this stuff doesn't just happen out of just the ether. You know, it takes a lot of work, a lot of time away from your family, from my family, from doing other things that we could be doing. And I think it's great that people love listening to those types of things, but it's a double-edged sword when people come back and say, oh, you shouldn't be making money off it. Why are you doing that?
Well, I just say to them, well, don't watch us. Go elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not forcing you to be here. I'm not forcing you to buy stuff. You can go do whatever your heart desires, and I support you in that decision. But don't stand there and judge me when you're not standing in my shoes.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, everything is still there for free. You don't have to pay.
Yeah. We do lots of stuff that's free for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I have to ask you, our time's nearly running out.
Really?
I know. Time just bloody flies when you're having fun. full spectrum cameras, yep. Are they worth it?
Who knows? This is the problem with a lot of the paranormal equipment, is that there is no definitive yes, no, this is what works. This is going to get you spirit communication, the spirit boxes and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's all hit and miss. You can never get a reliable result, which is what the skeptics keep banging on about, because we can't get reliable results. It's all spontaneous sort of stuff. My advice is use them. Try them, see how you go. And that's all you can really do. I mean, it's great for recording stuff anyway. So if there is any phenomena that's happening around you, at least you've got something on film, you can use them in the dark. Obviously, you can't use the ultraviolet part of that spectrum, because you'd have to put the ultraviolet light on to be able to pick up that spectrum.
And that may just raise a whole lot of other questions that you don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just use night vision cameras because we work a lot in the dark. I don't personally use full spectrum. Renata loves her full spectrum camera, but that's because she gets such amazing, beautiful photos, and she is a photographer, so that's why she uses it.
There you go. It does have a real world purpose too, which I think is cool. But before I let you go, where can people find you?
Well, the equipment for Oz Paratech is ozparatech.com. That's pretty easy. We've got a Facebook page. But most of my work these days is with the Frightfully Good World with Renata. And you can find us on Anne and Renata Frightfully Good on Facebook. On YouTube, we've actually got some videos on tips and tricks for the paranormal, and that's all free. And that's on our YouTube channel, Anne and Renata Frightfully Good. And we're on TikTok. what else do we do? Oh, True Hauntings podcast. We're on Sunday nights. We do Spooky Sundays radio show on Newcastle Live Radio, which is actually on an app and on the website. You listen between 8 and 10 p.m. on Sunday evening, Sydney time.
And it's very good.
That has been made into a podcast.
Oh, has it really?
It has.
Oh, that's
yes.
Super cool.
And they're smashing out the numbers on that. They had us up online for 3 months, and we had close to 11,000 downloads, so that was pretty good.
That's not bad. That's not bad for a community radio station, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we're out there. We're working it really hard. We've got a psychic development workshop class that's starting soon. Renata's running that because I'm a psychic brick. But I will be pressing the buttons for it because I'm good at pressing buttons.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'll do is I'll leave links to everything that you do, because the list is huge. It's too long for people to remember by heart. So just check the show notes, and I'll have links to everything that Anne and Renata do. But Anne, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You've been a wealth of knowledge and a good sounding board to vent some stuff as well.
Oh, look, thanks for having me. And I hope that I've given some food for thought, really, for some people, and maybe helped them along their journey. And I hope you get your documentary happening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets, and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.